Well, greetings, brothers and sisters. Yes, it is the Feast of Trumpets. And it is the first day of the seventh month. What I would like to do is touch on before I start what God put on my heart is I'm going to touch a little bit on Leviticus 23, but I'm not going to turn there. It basically is talking about the Feast of Trumpets. Now, in this verse, it has, it's a Sabbath, and it's a memorial of blowing of the trumpets. Now, the reason I'm touching on this is because years ago, I got introduced to where the people would blow the shofar, or what we call the trumpet. And one of the things that they pointed out was in the verse that, look, this is what you do. But one of the things that I'd like to point out is, who blows the trumpet? Is it just anybody? According to Scripture, it's Aaron's sons, the priests, who are male. But there's one other thing that I never heard from anybody that does this, and it's very important, and it's right, it's obvious, that when you blow it, it has to have a certain tune. Because when they blow the shofar or the trumpet, it's either for an assembly or an alarm or the gather or to march. It isn't just one sound. So there's a specified sound that is made. So it isn't just blowing it and anybody just can't blow it. And another thing that I want to touch on, and this has to do with what we heard recently in the news, and it has to do with the state of the world and this country, and why. In Leviticus 26, I have four, what I would call, principal reasons why the people of the world are in this state. One is because they're walking contrary. They're hostile. It's a, they're against, opposed. And the Webster's has this as a description, and I kind of really like it. It's obstinate. The second reason is will not hear. They don't want to hearken. Or it's hearken. They don't want to hear or pay attention, obedience, or discern. Another one in Leviticus 26 is will not be reformed. It's to instruct, correct, and reprove. And that's in verse 23 of verse chapter 26. And the last one is sin. It's transgression of the law. But in Deuteronomy 28, they bring up something quite interesting in the Word of God in regards to the blessings and the cursings. And that's where I'm going to read from. It's Deuteronomy 28, and it's verse 20. The Lord shall send upon thee cursings, vexation, and rebuke in all that thou settest thy hand unto for to do, until thou be destroyed, and until thou perish quickly, because of the wickedness of thy doings, whereby thou hast forsaken me. The world has forsaken God, and God tells us why. It's the wickedness. It's wicked, it's evil, and it's they left God. So God basically is telling us this is why. Now, some things in the news, which you might have heard earlier this morning or just recently, it's about the Ebola. Now, the Ebola has been in there quite often, and now they're using this term, it's a pandemic. And they actually are, there's some scientists that are saying it could go airborne. And that's just something for us to be aware of. And that goes right back to Leviticus 26 and Deuteronomy 28. God is going to be sending or allowing these pestilence, these diseases, because there's a rejection of God. And then the other one, and I'm going to turn to this. This is about ISIS. Now, just recently, ISIS beheaded, I think it's a total of three Western people. And Christ actually told us in regards to that we should be aware of this. And if you turn to John chapter 16, and it's verse 2, it says, "They shall put you out of the synagogues, yes, the time shall cometh that whosoever killeth you will think that he does God's service." Now these people that are in ISIS, they believe that they're actually serving and doing what they call Allah, their God, which is a false God, but they're doing God's service. That's what they think. And that's the kind of world that we're living in. Now, this Feast of Trumpets, I'm going to have a talk on, and it's going to be kind of towards a song that we sing every once in a while. And the song, the name of it is Onward Christian Soldiers. And part one of the verse of it is, "Marching as to war with the word of Jesus going on before." Now what I'd like to do is touch on the battle or the war that we're in right at this present time, and some things that we have to be aware of. Now, the Word of God describes, or the war that we're in is a spiritual war. The Word of God describes it as this, or like this, in Ephesians 6 and chapter, or Ephesians 6 and verse 12. "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." Well, I'm going to give you some descriptions of these words here about wrestle, principalities, spiritual wickedness and darkness that I want us to keep in mind. Rassel, liken it to where we're striving or contending with. The principalities, power or rule. Darkness, shadow, darkness of air. Spiritual, supernatural, religious, wickedness, malice, hurtful, evil. Now, I want to back up here just for a moment. And let's see here. What do I want to... Okay, we'll keep going here. In regards to that, okay, now keep that in mind. Now let's turn to, because God actually, in Genesis 3, there's a keen insight that is vivid, and is something that we really need to consider in Genesis 3 and chapter 1, verse 1. "Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, has God said, You shall not eat of every fruit of the garden?" Now, keep this in mind. Okay, we got a vision. A serpent, we envision like an animal of some kind. But liken it to this. It's a description of the characteristics and mannerisms of our adversary. The serpent has to do with, let's see, I want to get that description down. The serpent, whisperer, enchanter, subtle, a subtlety, cunning, and crafty. Now, remember, we're in a spiritual warfare, and it's against principalities and wickedness in high places. So, this warfare. Now, look what this serpent, this cunning whisperer, does. He states a question to the woman, Eve. Her response. It's still in Genesis 3, verse 2 and 3. And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. So the woman answers the serpent. Now, he responds back because he's got her attention, Eve's attention. Verse 4 and 5. And the serpent, now remember the cunning whisperer, crafty, enchanter. And the serpent said unto the woman, you shall not surely die, for God does know. Okay, and that's true, God does know. That this is what he adds, that in the day you shall eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. Now, I want you to envision this. The crafty one set this up for Eve, where he responded saying that God knows, but what did he add? In the day that your eyes shall be open, you shall be as God. So Eve goes, well, that's not what I heard from God. That ain't what he said. Is there something that he's not telling me? What does she do? She looks at this tree that he says it's good to eat, and it caught her attention in regards to that. And I'm going to reread it in verse 5. For God does know that the day you eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. Now, I want us to liken it in this present time in regards to what some of God's kids are actually embracing. They actually are embracing. They're turning to the Jewish religion, they're turning to Hebrew roots, and they're turning to the Hebrew language. It's in the same mindset as God, for whatever reason, is hiding something because of the English written word, the Bible. There's something that's not understandable. The English word of God is hiding some understanding. Turn to 2 Peter. And chapter 2 and verse 1 and 2. The second verse 1. But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privately shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon them swift destruction. When Christ was on walking this earth, over 2,000 years ago, who would not receive him? Just something for the ponder. And it's revealed in the Bible. Who would not receive Christ? Verse 2. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason whom the truth shall be evil spoken of. The pernicious ways are, according to the description of this word, or part of it, it's It's damnable. It's wicked and evil. Verse 3, and through covetousness shall they with vain words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. The covetousness, it has to do with the greediness. The vain words, it's false words. They merchandise you. It's likened to this. It's a wholesale, and they're selling you a bill of goods or a bag of goods in regards to about the truth. Turn to 2 Timothy. Now, you may kind of ask yourself, okay, what does this got to do with the trumpets? Trumpets is the war that when he comes back, the Feast of Trumpets. When Christ comes back, that's when the war is. We're in this war right now. We just went to Genesis. Right from the beginning, there's been that war, that mindset, that God is not telling us everything we need to know, and that is not true, brothers and sisters. He has told us and revealed to us everything that we need to know to live a godly life and also to please Him. In Timothy, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1. This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. God wants us to know that there's going to be perilous times. These perilous times, which I kind of really, it really broadened my understanding anyhow, it's through the idea of reducing the strength or danger. Now, ask yourself this. Can the Word of God be revealed in English and still have strength? The answer is absolutely yes. The Word of God is powerful in any language. Just not, it doesn't just have to be in the Hebrew language. And for this, you can point to the Scriptures, brothers and sisters. Just go to Acts. When the Spirit revealed what God was saying to a multitude of languages. Verse 7 of the same chapter. Ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. The truth is, if God wants, He can make us know what He wants with anything He chooses. From what we just went through, it sounds like it's pretty treacherous. But God has provided us the armor we need. Turn back to Ephesians 6. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God. Verse 11. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Verse 13. Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Stand on what? What should we stand on, brothers and sisters? Truth, righteousness, peace, faith, the promise of salvation, and the Word of God. These are all pieces of the armor of God that point to Christ. And guess what? Christ points to the Father. It's just amazing. how this is so revealing. For more encouragement that God has provided for us, this armor, and yes, we have to be able to rightly apply it. And because it can get misused or misapplied. Turn to, for more encouragement of God's word, back in Psalms. Psalms chapter 37. Verse 1. Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. Don't worry. Do not let them make you anxious. The evildoers will be getting this. You just back up in my Bible, just one page, is Psalm 34. And it's verse 16. Psalm 34, verse 16. The face of the Lord is against them that do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. They're not even going to be remembered. And to be not envious of them, back in Psalm 37, be not envious, envious against the workers of iniquity. Why? It's revealed, God tells us in verse 2, for they shall soon be cut down like grass and wither as the green herb. So, all right, encouragement. Don't fret and don't be envious. Trust. The third verse is trust in the Lord and do good. Trust and do good. When we do this, God is well pleased. And you can find that out in Hebrews. I'm not going to turn there, but it's Hebrews 13:16. Verse 4. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of the heart. Dedicate yourself to God with great joy, and he'll give you what you need. Verse 5, commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust always in him, and he shall bring it to pass. Let God take charge and guide you. Then verse 7, it's rest in the Lord. Rest in the Lord, in other words, just be silent and stand still to hear what God will have to say to you, and then apply it. Dropping down to verse 39. But the salvation of the righteous is of the Lord. He is their strength in the time of trouble, and the Lord shall help them and deliver them. He shall deliver them from the wicked and save them because they trust in the Lord. In other words, when we trust in God or the Lord, you confide in him, you have hope, and you made him your refuge. And you absolutely absolutely, beyond a doubt, have confidence that God is able to perform his will. He's touched each and every one of our hearts, brothers and sisters. He opened our minds. This is kind of a, odd time, because it's Thursday and we're here gathered together. Once again, God or nobody has forced us. We're doing it because it's a desire to please him and to learn from one another and to encourage one another. Yes, out in the world there's a struggle, it's evil, But we have somebody that overcame the world. That is Jesus Christ. We look to him, and he points us to the Father. Now, I want to just share. This was odd in preparing, you know, for me anyhow. Because I really didn't understand why God was putting on my heart, look at King Saul, look at King David, and Balaam. What? So those are kind of like odd. But one of the things that he revealed to me personally now, brothers and sisters, why this was, is that, all right, God chose Saul, and God also chose David. But there was a main difference, all right? Saul, when he was commanded to do certain things and didn't, he had excuses. And when David failed God, he didn't make excuses, but he confessed and asked for forgiveness. But there's one other thing that God revealed to me in regards to about King Saul and the difference between David, and that Saul tended to try to justify his actions and sit and justify himself. And God, kind of when I realized that, God said, Steve, don't sit and try to justify yourself, because God will justify you or me or us. Now the lesson that I learned personally about Balaam. Now this is found in Numbers chapter 22. Not going to turn there, but it has to do with Balaam. He's riding an animal. In the King James, it's called the ass, or it could be a donkey. It's an animal. And the animal sees an angel, and an angel was going to slay Balaam. And Balaam didn't see that. So what's he do? He whips this animal. And what God has revealed to me in regards to that is that when you're angry, you may not be able to see what is right before you. Your eyes may be blinded. And I just wanted to share that with you in regards to that, because I found it somewhat odd and ironic that when I was studying to prepare, you know, this talk, for whatever reason, I don't want to say sidetracked, but look at Saul, look at King and David and Balaam. Now, I thank the Heavenly Father and Jesus Christ that they have provided everything we need to overcome and endure until Christ's return. We praise the Father and Son, and rejoice and be glad that our hearts and minds were open, and there's a desire to keep the Feast of Trumpets with gladness and rejoicing. May God always bless us, and may all of us walk in his will.